Morning. Thank you for being with us. And let me begin with thanking everyone that helps us financially, prayerfully, in whatever way to keep us on the air. You are listening to a listener-supported program. Those that contribute are the ones that keep this on the air. We want to continue on doing with this, and we've talked to the station and are going into the next year and going to continue on. This morning, I want to talk about quiet time. And it seems like that's a kind of a difficult thing to have in today's world is quiet time. And no matter what we do, it seems like there's some interruption of some kind. We've got radios in our cars. We've got cell phones wherever we go. We've got all kinds of things that can attach us to the world and draw us back in. But we need quiet time, that time that we have with the Lord. And this morning's scripture is from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. And it's Jesus speaking here directly. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, he's talking about not being boisterous about your prayers, not being out there with it for everyone to hear just for that purpose. It's okay to pray in public if you've been asked to, but what he's saying is that you're not supposed to be praying for everyone else's benefit so that they can listen to you and you go, "Wow, that was a great prayer." But he's talking about we need that time alone. When you go in your closet, that's what he's saying, when you get alone with God. And I give this illustration that, you know, and it happened to me not long ago. I was with a group of people and I was talking to a couple there. And it got so noisy around me that it was hard to hear this one person because she spoke kind of quiet. So I couldn't really hear what she was saying. And I had to tell her, I'm having trouble hearing what you're saying because of all the other noise around. Whereas before that I could hear okay when it wasn't that way. But the more people got into the room, the more it got and less I could hear. We need that time. When we can go, we can be alone with the Lord, we can listen to Him and not be distracted by everything. Distractions are everywhere, and I named a few of them. You know, the cell phone is probably the biggest distraction. I see people all the time. I'll be in a restaurant, be in a public place, whatever it is, and you see a family together, and they're all there with a device in front of them, whatever it is, video game, cell phone, iPad, you know, notebook, whatever you want to call them. And they're not paying attention to one another. They're not even talking to one another, not even conversing as if they are oblivious to the fact that they're with people. And so we've got these distractions that call us in all the time. My kids used to get angry with me because, we would go on vacation and my phone would ring. I'd be talking to someone, someone was having a problem and they needed help or they had a situation going on or just wanted to relate something to me and would distract me away from my family and doing that, you know. And so we've got these distractions. We need this time, this closet time, this time we get alone with the Lord and just talk to Him. In Psalms, Psalm 107, we hear this, and he said, "Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven." He was talking about taking care of them, but they had to get quiet. They had to listen to God. They had to be there with Him, and we need to do that. You can't carry on a conversation when it's all one-sided. That's not a conversation. That's a speech. And so if we're all the time just going to God, we're just talking to Him, and whenever we got a chance, and I've talked about this too. We need to pray at all times, pray without ceasing, but we need that time where we can just listen. Listen to God. Listen to what He's got to say. As you listen to this, you may be distracted by something else. You may be doing something, filling with something, and you're probably going to miss what I'm saying. I've done that before and think, well, I'm really going to listen to them, and all of a sudden I'm distracted, and I didn't get to listen to what I wanted to hear from someone preaching or teaching or whatever it is. And so we have that in our lives. And He said, "When thou prayest, enter into the closet." Elijah, if we look over in 1 Kings there, and we see that God had got him aside and needed to talk to him. And he came, you know, he created a lot of noise and everything, but it said he wasn't in those things. It wasn't until verse 12 said, "And after the earthquake, a fire that the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. You see, he got quiet. When it all got quiet, he brought an earthquake and a fire. And then when it all got quiet, that's when the Lord spoke to him. People will say, well, I'm waiting for the Lord to speak to me. Have you been listening? Have you gotten quiet enough to hear? You know, we all the time are talking to people and they'll say something to us and then I don't know what you're talking about, because we weren't listening. We weren't paying attention. Maybe we were doing our own thing. Maybe we were talking. I've got people that I talk to and I've told people that it wasn't a conversation. I was just listening because they never allowed me to talk. They didn't hear anything I said. And when I did say something, they weren't listening because all they were doing was trying to wait for the next opportunity to what they wanted to relate to me. So they really had no concern as to what I had to say. Too much of the time, I think we're doing that with God. We're going about our daily lives. We're going and doing all of our things. And then we just say, well, God, you know, when you get a little moment, I'll squeeze you in, you know, or I'll try to. And I've related this as a pie. We cut it up and, you know, we cut it all up and we decide what segment of that goes to what segment of our life. And then when we get done, if there's anything left, we say, well, God, you can have the rest. But then we take a bite out of it and say, well, now you can have it. And we really don't give anything to him. We don't give any heed to what he's got to say. And we're going to have to listen. Our nation right now needs to be listening to God. Well, we've separated ourselves so much from God. And we go around saying, well, God wants this, God wants that. But we haven't gone to him. We haven't prayed about it. Churches are not praying. They're not going to God. They're making decisions without God. Individuals are making decisions without God. And all the while saying, yep, we believe in God. And we want his way. And we want to do what he wants us to do. But the whole time we're just telling him, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And you need to get on board, God. And when what we really need to be doing is going and saying, Lord, what is it that you want us to do? And he's got his word right here. If we would listen as a nation and say, okay, this is what it is. He said, turn to me. We like to quote, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We say all the time, well, you know, if his people, but do we really do that? Do we really come to him and say, Lord, I want to hear you. I want to hear what you've got to say right now. Think about your prayer time. Think about it right now. I want you to just think about your last time you prayed. Just really, what were you doing? What were you doing when you were praying? And you say, oh, I was laying down, going to sleep. That was the quietest time I've got. How long did it last before you actually fell asleep that you were actually talking to God? Were you really paying attention? Were you listening to God? You know, I love deer hunting. And anybody that knows me knows I get excited about deer hunting. As soon as it's over, you know, I'm getting ready. I'm thinking about the next year. And you know, I got to thinking about this. One of the greatest things I love about it is the quiet. When I go out there, I turn my cell phone to silent. I'll even turn it where it won't even vibrate because I don't even want it to do that. I don't even want it to notify me that anything's going on. I'll put all the distractions I've got away. I'll get out there and I'll begin to talk to God. I'll begin to listen to God. I'll begin to listen to what he's got to say to me because I don't want any other things. And I can just sit there and be quiet. And I'm amazed at God's creation. When I'm there, I've got a little devotion book, and I'll read a devotion, and then I'll spend a little time praying and just getting with God. And I got thinking, that is one of the greatest things that I love about deer hunting. Now, don't get me wrong. I love getting out there and seeing a big buck. I'm not going to tell you that I don't, but I love getting out there, and it's the quiet and just being there. And just listening and seeing God's creation at work and seeing the sun rise, the sun set, and all the things that happen around me and just listening. And there have been some great things that have come to me in God's word that it would just, you know, I'd be talking to God and all of a sudden his word would come to me. And you've got to know his word for that to happen, by the way. And I would say, wow, that's a great scripture. I remember that, you know, and that's speaking to me right now. And it's, you know, applicable to my life. I need that. And that's exactly what we need. We need to be able to apply these scriptures. So we need that quiet time. And that is great time for me. He said, when you pray, enter into your closet. He didn't say, if you want to. He said, when you pray, you need to do this. You need to go into that closet. You need to go into that quiet time. You need to be able to speak, but you need to be able to listen too. Praying is listening as well. I've counseled with so many people over 20 years of ministry, and so many of them are really not wanting to listen. They're just wanting to tell you. They're just wanting to talk and say, well, this is what I want. And they're just really wanting you to agree with them. to just say, oh, I'm going to rubber stamp what you're doing. Go ahead and do it, you know. And they're doing the same thing to God. They say, well, I think what God really wants is this. Well, have you really asked him? Have you really gone to him? Have you checked it out and seen? I've heard so many things, you know, well, God did this, God did that, you know, like, no, you did that. And you did it without God because you didn't really want God. And we've come to a point like that in our lives, in our nation. We've turned our back on God. Well, we said, well, where's God in all the stuff that's going on? Well, he's doing exactly what we asked him to do. He's sitting outside the door because we said, we don't want you in here. We don't want you in our boardrooms. We don't want you in our government. We don't want you in our school. And I'm sad to say, and I've said this before, but so many of the churches have said, we don't want you in here either. We'd rather do our own thing. We'd rather do what we want to than listen to you, Lord, at what we would should do. We decided that we are the organization instead of the organism, and we're getting out there and we're just doing things and saying, Lord, the Lord's with us because we want to, because we come in here every Sunday, the Lord's with us. Well, I'm telling you right now, the Lord is not with you if you're not with him. And if you're not going with him, and if you're not doing what his word said, and you're not doing exactly the way he said, then the Lord is not with you. You go out there and you treat people like dirt, and you say, oh, the Lord's in it. You look down your nose at people when they come into church because they don't look like what you want them to, or you think, and you look at them and go, well, I don't think they're going to be very good tithers. Then the Lord is not with you, and don't be going around saying he is in your own life. If you're not doing what God wants you to do, don't say that God is with you. You wonder what's going on in your life and why the Lord's not blessing you. It's because you're not doing what he wants you to do. And I'm speaking to the child of God today, those that claim to be his, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, those that claim that he's given them eternal life, those that will say, well, yes, you know, I go to church and I do this and I do all of that. I'm speaking to you today. I'm asking you right now, have you been in your closet? Have you asked God what he wants you to do? Have you really gone to him and soaked it up? Or are you too busy doing what you want to do? Some of us, we don't even need distractions. We are the distraction. We're distracting other people from really worshiping God. We're distracting other people from really praising his name. And I'll go back to churches. We got to the point that if somebody starts praising God, we say, well, what's wrong with them? And we'll want them to leave. They disturb me during God's worship. You know, I've had people in my service, and I've told people the problem that they have is they weren't raised up in church. They don't know that they're supposed to sit there and not love the Lord, not say anything, and not get excited about him. That's tongue-in-cheek, but we ought to be praising God. When's the last time you really and truly praised God? Go into your closet. He said, when you have shut the door, you need to go in that closet, but you need to shut the door. You need to close it off from the rest of the world. You need to get in that time, turn your phone off, turn your TV off, get by yourself. I don't care if you got to go outside and sit in your car, whatever it is, get in the closet and then shut the door. Don't leave it open a crack and go, hey, you know, there might be something going on. I might miss a little bit of something. We carry these phones with us and all kinds of devices, you know, so we can stay in touch. What are we staying in touch with? Well, do you know what so-and-so's having for lunch today? And wow, look at what they fixed tonight. Isn't that great? And hey, their kids are doing this. And, you know, are you sure that kid looks like them? That's the thing that we do. We want to make sure that we stay in touch with all those kinds of things. How about staying in touch with God? And there's only one way, through his word right here. This word of God is what you've got to open up, and that's where you've got to shut everything else off, and you've got to find out what he wants you to do, to not do, to not say, to say, all of these things. He will guide your life in every single thing you do. I spoke a while ago about being out there on the deer stand, and those passages will come to my mind. And I said, you got to know them before they'll come to your mind. I'm telling you right now, most Christians that claim to be children of God do not know the word of God. They've not paid attention to one single bit. They may have sat through a bunch of sermons and they still don't know the word of God. They don't know what God wants. They don't know what he says. They don't know what he's done. They don't have a clue about it. They don't open it up. They've got these Bibles they've had for 25 or 30 years and they're still in good shape. They shouldn't be. You ought to have a worn out Bible somewhere. You ought to have a few. Unless you're just a new Christian and you just got your Bible, you ought to have some worn out pages. You ought to have something there that shows you've been reading your Word of God. I've gone to people's houses and it just blesses me. I went to a sister's house. She was a dear prayer warrior and she couldn't get out anymore. And we went to her house. My wife and I did. I looked over at a Bible and it had duct tape on it. It was sitting over on a table. I knew her husband had passed away and it was sitting out there and I assumed it was his. And I said, well, sister, I said, whose Bible is that? And she said, oh, that's mine. So that thing was wore out. So the pages won't even stay in it anymore. And I looked over at the one she had beside her table and it looked almost as bad. Praise God, because she used it. To her dying day, she followed after the Lord. And when she was in the nursing home and she was drawing her last breath, and she told me, she said, she prayed and she said, Lord, just can you use me? I feel like I'm worthless now. And said, somebody came in, a nurse came in and had a look on her face. And she said, child, what's going on with you? And she got to sit there and talk to her about the Lord. She was a Christian, but she was having a tough time. She was able to encourage her. Why? Because she talked to God and she let him talk to her. So he said, go into your closet. But he said, then shut the door. Shut the door and close it all off and say, I'm not going to allow that world in here. Folks, we got enough world as it is. I remember when fax machines came out and they talked about how it was going to revolutionize the workforce, that we were going to work so much less, that it was going to do all these things for us. And what did it do? It just made it where we got instantaneous contact. They could send you a document right away and you had to react to it. You had to act on it. And as each new thing came along and they said, this is going to save us time. What has it done? It's taken away our time. We are preoccupied with it. You just go into any place and hear the dings and the pops and the whistles and all the sounds that come from all the devices that we have, everything that will tell us you got mail, you got a message, you got a notification from the news that you watch or something. It'll all pop up. Some of them are great and they help us out, but most of them, they're just dragging us down. We're just more inclined to look at that than we are to talk to anybody or even share the word of God with anybody. We need to get back to it. He said, go into that closet. And he said, and shut the door. And he said, then pray to the Father, which is in secret. We need to pray to the Father. We need to realize who we're talking to. When we go to God, it's not, hey, God, just want you to understand that, you know, I'm coming to you and it's a great privilege for you to be able to hear me and speak to me because I'm such a mighty person. No, we need to be going to God and say, Lord, I know that I don't deserve to talk to you, but I really thank you for listening to me. And I do. I praise God all the time for just thank you for listening to me. Lowly little person here. And we think that we are so great. We look at it, you know, our world is us, you know. When I went in the army and they sent me over to Germany, I had a good dose of reality, realizing I wasn't very important. Because they took me over there and they picked me up and they were taking me down the streets and I saw all these signs and it was in a language that I did not know at the time. I did learn, but I was scared. I was just this boy from Arkansas that had never been anywhere really. And I, you know, my little world was just a few people in my family. And I got over there and I realized, hey, this is a big old place. But you know, then I got to know a lot of people and realize that, hey, we all need Jesus. Every single one of us. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care what color your skin is. Folks, I'm not preaching a denomination. I'm not preaching about anything else except Jesus Christ. Paul said, you know, I'm going to preach him and him crucified, and I'm not going to be preaching anything else. So I want to tell you today that this is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It's all about studying his word. It's all about listening to him. It's all about getting to know him. But first of all, it's getting that free gift that he has to offer, which is himself. He died on a cross. He was born of a virgin and placed in a manger. That's a feed trough. He came down from heaven to lay in a feed trough. Folks, I've been around animals all my life, and I've never looked at a feed trough and go, man, that's where I want to lay down and sleep. That's where I want to put my kids. I wish I could have a child right now and wrap them in these swaddling clothes, those death clothes, and lay them in there with the feed and the hay and everything else. I never have once done that because all of them are pretty nasty. And that one was too. But he did that for us. He died on the cross for us. He defeated death for us. He sits at the right hand of the Father for us, making intercession for those that have accepted him. And he's coming back again for us. Praise God. Amen. Thank you very much. I just want to praise him right now. Say, thank you, Lord, for even speaking to us in this way. I told you these are Jesus' words right now. If you got a red letter edition Bible, some people don't like those. That's okay. But that just indicates those were the words spoken by Jesus in his earthly ministry, those few short years that he was here, that he had such an impact on the whole world and still does today. You can go anywhere you want to and say, I have my God, their God, and they're okay with it. But you start talking about my God is Jesus, the Christ, the Redeemer, people get upset because he still has an impact on the world. He said, go in your closet, shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And there's a result from all this, folks. It said, and the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. He said, when you go into that quiet time, when you get to that quiet time, there is a reward out of it. You say, oh, I'm going to get money. No, that's not what that says. So don't go out, well, I'm going to go in there and name it and claim it, and I'm going to get everything that God has promised me because I asked for it. No, when you truly worship the Lord, when you place him number one in your life, you're going to go to him humbly, and you're going to pray to him. You're going to make your requests known with thanksgiving in your heart, not with a heart of I want stuff or desire or covetousness or anything else. It doesn't matter what time of the year it is. You're going to go to him with this spirit of love and caring and wanting to just share with him and just be with him. You know, there are people in my life that have gone on that I've told people, you know, I'd give a lot of money for 5 minutes with them. Why? Because I just want to converse. Not just talk to them, but listen to them. Just have a little bit of time, just a little bit of time alone. And I promise you right now, if that would happen, I would not say, hey, let's meet in a crowded place. I'd say, let's meet in a quiet place. Let's go out here where nobody else is because I want one-on-one time with you. I don't want anybody else to interfere with this. And that's what it's saying. You want one-on-one time with God. You want it where you don't have any interference from anybody else. You say, wait, you know, I love this person. I love my spouse. That's fine. Let them have their quiet time with God. You have your quiet time with God. And then you come back and you talk about your quiet time with God. Say, well, I was praying here and the scripture came to mind. I'll speak about that. And you say, well, me and my spouse, we don't speak about these kinds of things. Well, you should. Your wife, your husband, you should be speaking to them. We ought to be listening to what God said. We ought to be listening to what he said. So many things would be cleared up in our world if we would listen to what God said. We got such confusion going on in our lives. We're looking at this and we think we're telling our kids that there's multiple genders now. And if we just listen to the Bible, Jesus said he made them male and female. That clears it up for me. That makes it pretty plain for me. There's only two, male and female. That's the way he made them, and that's the way he made you, and all this other confusion that we have, and all this other things that we don't understand this. Well, that's because we've not paid attention to God. We look and we say, well, we are in control of this world. We're not in control of this world. We live in fear because we think that we control everything. That's why we live in fear. That's why people are so afraid now. They're afraid to go to church. They're afraid to be around anybody. I'm telling you right now, you know, you don't have to yell fire in a crowded room to get everybody to leave. All you have to do is cough. And everybody's going to look at you and they're going to run off. You can clear your throat and they're going to be scared to death because they live in fear. Oh, no, this is going to happen. We live in fear because we haven't paid attention to God. We live in fear because we haven't gone to our closet. We live in fear because we haven't closed off the door. We keep leaving it open and we allow the world to speak to us more than we do God. We pay more attention to doctors on television that don't even practice medicine anymore that are telling us something different every single time we hear them, and we pay attention to that more than we do for God. We don't pay attention to God anymore. We pay attention to the talking heads on television, the ones that They couldn't do the things for themselves if they wanted to. And they sit there and they say those things, and we just listen to them. We tune in to them. We got our little everything speaking to us and said, oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? And we will tell people, oh, you need to be careful of this. We need to be careful of that. But how about going to them and go, hey, I got the answer. I know what the answer to all this is, and his name is Jesus. When's the last time you've done that? Just taking it to him and said, hey, I know the answer to all this. When is the last time you told yourself that instead of being so afraid of every single thing that happens in this world? Folks, I'm not telling you not to be concerned, and I know some of you are going to go, well, he's this or he's that. I don't really care what you think. I answer to God. I preach God's word. I'm telling you right now, without Jesus Christ, without accepting the free gift of salvation, you are bound for a devil's hell, and with him you are bound for heaven. And that's the only two choices you've got. You don't have any other choices. I'm telling you that's the truth, and you need to understand that. And once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are obligated, you are obligated, you are obligated to understand his word, to get into his word, to know what he's got to say, to enter into that closet, to shut the door, to speak to him and listen to him and know what he's got to say and know what the answer is for this entire world, starting with you, taking to your family. Daddies, I'm telling you right now, if you're not going into that closet and praying for your family, you're doing the wrong thing. If you think going to work every day is the only thing you need to do for your family, I'm telling you right now, you need to go in that closet, shut that door, and plead with God for your family. And the way you do that is you say, Lord, help me to lead them in the way I should. Daddies, you are supposed to be the leaders of your home. If you're not doing that, if you're sending mama and you say, well, I don't know what happened to that kid. I made sure the mama took them to church every Sunday. You're wrong. You need to get back on your knees. You need to get in that closet and close that door. Start praying for your family and pray that you will stand up and do the right thing and lead that family. Mama, if you're trying to do everything and take away from your day, if you talk bad about your husband, you need to go in that closet. You need to close the door and you need to start praying. Child, you need to get in that closet. You need to be shutting that door and praying and know that God said that you should obey your parents because this is right. We've gotten away from God. We've gotten away from listening to him. We've gotten to the point that we don't want to go in the closet because what he'll tell us is contrary to what we want to hear. That's what it boils down to. We don't want to go into the closet. We sure don't want to shut the door. And we sure don't want to talk to the Father because we know the Father has the message. The Father has it right. But he wants us to. He said, I want you to come to this. I want you to bring these things. Maybe you say, well, it's small things in my life. Take them to him. You know, one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned is the small things in our life are not small to God when we take them to him. They're not minute. They're not a non-consequence. He's concerned about that as much as he is what we call the big things. You take it all to him. And a bunch of small things, a lot of times, will weight us down. You take a lot of little weights, and they get heavy quick. So take it to the Lord. Take it to him and say, Lord, I want to speak to you. And I want to listen to you. And you start reading your Bible. You know, you can get a lesson plan of out there on the internet or however you want to do it and read through your Bible, know what it says. Go to it, let it speak to you, let it guide you. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, you keep coming back to this, yeah, and I continually will. That's everyone. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of that, the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says if you'll confess the Lord Jesus, that means making him Lord of your life, being willing to go to him in this closet and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Eternal punishment, that death. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank God I'm a whosoever. So are you. And want you to understand that we're going to continue on preaching with this program. We're going to continue on. We'd like to hear from you. You can respond on our Facebook and our website, however you want to. Send us a letter. We're going to continue on preaching the gospel until God says it's over. And I want to thank you again for supporting us. Please pray for this ministry as we reach out and we talk to people. We can reach people that we never thought we could. I hear from people all the time that I never thought we could reach, but God's allowing this. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that you will do it today and then let us know and then find you a good Bible-believing church. If you have, then get off your duff and go do something. Read your Bible. Get in your closet and say, Lord, I'm ready to listen to you. I want to thank you very much. My name is Charles Morgan, Word is Live Ministries.